This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I mean, it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. You know, and once when we hit last Tuesday, and it was like the frozen tundra of the great North Pole, I thought, oh my goodness, winter is here to stay. And then Wednesday got a little bit better. Thursday was a little bit better. Friday's a little bit better. So really, we can't complain about this.
No. Let's don't complain. Snow might come back.
We'll jinx it.
You know, I heard earlier in the week there was a chance of snow. I cannot believe anybody even told that story.
Yes, it was a wintry precipitation mix of ice and snow that we could have seen. It could have been bad, but as far as I know, we didn't get anything. But still.
We didn't get anything. It went on. I don't know who got it, but it wasn't us.
Yeah, as long as it wasn't us, I don't care who got it.
Oh, my gosh, I don't either. That's not nice, but it... At least we didn't hear about it.
Yeah.
It had to be a long way off because we didn't hear.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing to say, but...
It is a terrible thing to say.
It is what it is. That's how I feel.
All right. We're going to ignore it today. We're going to just pass right over that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we're now into the grips of springtime. You know, we're almost to the end of February, and then, you know, Easter is on the brain now, and, you know, that means all the Easter candy is out in the stores, and so that puts me, and I think a lot of people, in a springtime frame of mind.
I know, because you love candy. You love every type of candy in the world.
I do. I love candy.
I mean, you and the kids are always ready for Easter and, Valentine and anything with candy. You're always ready.
Yeah, well, you know, they have these new, and I just saw them the other day in the store. They have these new, because I love Reese's, and they have these eggs that look like those Cadbury eggs, except they're made out of Reese's.
Wow.
I know.
And they got the peanut butter and the chocolate?
Yes. Oh, it's so delicious.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a wonderful thing.
It is.
Maybe we could have them early. You know, I just discovered that Walmart and all these stores, they don't wait for the season. You know, I was going to buy a couple of coats for someone the other day, and I said, well, you know, I'm going to look at Burlington and Belk's and all these. And people said, well, don't even bother going over to Walmart because they've got their spring things out. And I go, but this is February, folks. This is not spring.
Yeah.
And come to find out, all the stores want to get rid of all their stuff and put spring in right now in February.
Yeah, I did the same thing. It was on Tuesday. It was the day that it was so cold. I said, well, you know, I really need another long-sleeve button-up shirt. One that I can throw like over a T-shirt or something like that and kind of wear casual. So I went to three different stores. Not a single one of them had anything. They all had their spring merchandise out. And I said, oh, my goodness. I was like you. I'm like, this is still February.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane is what it is.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, I believe in men's shirts being long-sleeved all year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you want to dress up a little bit, you don't have to have on a suit. But lots of times for a business meeting, you always have on a long-sleeved shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all year round. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You should buy them whether it's springtime or in the middle of winter.
That's right. And I've always done that. And I just can't understand that. You know, you don't wear polo except casual.
Yeah.
You know, the short-sleeve polos are cute and nice, but you don't wear them every day for business.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do that. I mean, it's nice for casual Friday if that's your thing, but my goodness, you still need, you know, button-up shirts. And so now I got to go to a suit store and, you know, handle it that way, I guess. Or order something
online. I guess so. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But life is what it is, you know?
Exactly.
Times are changing. And I guess we just have to go with the flow and figure it out.
Well, now here's a perspective. If I can't find a shirt at the store, I can just order it on Amazon. I'm done in 30 or 40 seconds, and I can spend more time living my life.
I love that idea. Let me tell you something. Anything that can be ordered online, I do it.
Yeah.
I order everything online, and I like getting the packages. I'm like a little kid. You know, today I'm getting this package. Tomorrow I'm getting this package. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, it's you're right. It's like being a kid. And, you know, we get the notification on your phone that says your package will be delivered today. I'm like, yay!
That's right. And, you know, we wait for it, and it comes up to the house, and we're just glad, and we open it. And sometimes a silly thing happened to me. I ordered a pair of shoes back in the summer, but obviously I forgot all about it and kept trying to order them online, and they were always out. The other day I went into my closet, and there was that pair of shoes.
Oh, wow.
And I go, how in the heck did this happen? I inquired, and everybody said, oh, I guess they came. We just forgot to tell you. We just put them in your closet.
Oh, wow.
They've been there for months. People are crazy.
Well, a surprise.
It was a surprise. It was a good surprise. And I'd been wanting them all summer and didn't have them, and I did have them.
Wow, and they're all come to find out the whole time they were sitting right there in your closet.
That's right, and I didn't know to look.
That's wonderful. Good surprises
are nice.
It is wonderful.
Life is good, you know?
Yeah, it is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
I found out this week that there are two words that scare people more than anything else. Do you know what they are?
What is that?
Financial planning. It scares people.
You mean
people.
If they have to do it, they're scared?
Yes. It scares people because it's intimidating. They don't want to do it. It's cumbersome. It takes a long time. Those are the stereotypes and the misconceptions. Here's the reality. When it comes to financial planning, especially when you're growing your money with something that's not traditional like Wall Street, because we know the stress and everything involved with that. But if you're doing something a little more conservative, like a life settlement type of investment, here's the reality. It does not take all that much time. You basically get the ball started, and once you set it, you virtually forget it. You don't. It does not take a whole lot of maintenance, but at the same time, you're still growing your money. It's just that one big thing is getting started.
That's right, and you have to make up your mind. What do I want to do? Do I want to stay in the stock market? Do I want the rest? Versus rewards, or do I want to be a little bit more conservative? I'm 50 years old or 55, and, you know, what do I want to do? And I have people calling me all the time, you know, and say, okay, tell me about the life settlements. I tell them about it, and they go, well, I've got a brother or an uncle with you, and this is what they've made, and they've been with you 4 or 5 years, and I think I'd like to do it. And I say, okay, come on in, make an appointment, we'll go over it. If you like us, we want you to come in, you know? And that it's just that simple. And, you know, we don't have someone in there wearing a suit and a tie that's going to, you know, intimidate them. A lot of times people go to, like you say, someone's going to help them, and they're intimidated. And if they're intimidated, they'll do something they really don't want to do.
You know, not only do they get intimidated, you know, with like the suits and the atmosphere, but then I've seen this happen before, not to myself, but I've heard other people have been through this, where they get into the room and it's a big, huge, intimidating conference room with like glass doors and this big table, and they start throwing out these numbers and talking about
and they
this.
Don't even know what they're talking about.
Half of it's made up, I think.
Yeah. I think so.
I don't even know if it's real or not, you know, because people, they don't know. They start talking fast. They throw all these numbers out there. They get in these situations. This is not this type of situation at all. When you're investing in a life settlement, it is a very well informed, first of all. So you're going to get a ton of information before anybody decides to get into a particular policy. They're going to know everything about it. And the other thing is, it's relaxed. You always say, and this is the wonderful thing that I think takes a lot of pressure off people, you always say only do what you're comfortable with. You know, if you like this, if you want to do it, great, let's do it. If you're not really sure, if we need to talk a couple more times, if you need more information, let's talk a few more times. If you want to wait a few minutes, wait a few minutes. You're all about what is best for each individual investor.
Well, that's true. And lots of times I've had people have to talk me into it. Not long ago, a gentleman came. We talked about everything, and I thought, well, now he's going to go home. finally he said, what do I need to do to open an account? I go, oh, okay. You want to open an account? We'll do it. But you know, it's got to be their idea.
Yeah.
It can't be my idea because it's not my money.
Yeah.
I always tell people, it's your money. We've got to do what's best for you and your family.
Yeah. And the great thing is you'll analyze the situation. You'll figure out where people are now. You'll figure out where they need to be. You'll figure out when they need to be there. And you can figure out these trajectories and these plans. You'll put a strategy together that will get them to where they need to be. From then on out, they have all the information, and it's their call. You are simply the facilitator and the researcher.
That's right. And I always encourage them, go to the website, look everything up. Now, a gentleman yesterday sent me a deal, and he purported it to be off my website. I looked at it, and I go, that's not off my website, because it was showing people got back what they put in it. And you know, that's an impossibility. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where he got it, but it had to be made up. It wasn't off our website, because ours show what you put in, what you got back, what your percentage was, and what you made, and how many months it was. And all that is on our website on every policy that matures.
And your website, by the way, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Again, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And people can go there. You don't have to have an account. You don't have to have secret credentials to access this. All this information is right there for anybody to see.
That's right. And we put everybody's initials on these policies. And so everybody can look up their own account and say, okay, I forgot what I made there. They can go to the website and look up what they made.
Mm-hmm. And so the way this works is that people come, and a lot of times they're looking for something a little bit more conservative because they're getting closer to retirement. And this is the thing that I was talking to several people this week, and this is the thing that seems to be the common thread. People are they may intend to do, you know, some financial growing. They may intend to do some planning. They may intend to get responsible, oftentimes, I think, in their 30s. And then they get into their 40s, and they're saying, well, you know, let me go out and, you know, buy this one thing first, or let me go buy a boat, or let me go get a new truck, or, you know, let me get a rental property, let me do this. And before you know it, they keep pushing that initial start back further and further and further. And that's what happens before people know it. They've gone 5, 10, 15, 20 years later than what they planned to. They were busy enjoying life, you know, buying this, buying that, and they just keep saying, well, I'll just do it tomorrow. Do you find that to be really the biggest obstacle for getting started?
Yes, they have to make up their mind that they're ready. They have to quit procrastinating, because men do procrastinate a lot more than us women. And they'll procrastinate until finally, I don't know if the wife says, you know, we need to get on with this, or he just wakes up one morning and says, enough is enough. I need to go talk to Faye. And so they will come in and talk to me. We'll do some planning and see if we can't make the numbers work for them.
Mm-hmm. But the thing people need to know is that when they come in, you're going to basically set this up at the beginning. From then on out, it's basically just rolling profit over, you know, rolling a profit from this investment into another one, into another one, into another one. And that's how the whole thing grows exponentially from the time they start to get them to where they need to be to retire. So it's not like there's a lot of maintenance to do on the investor's part every month. It's like they come in, do the hard work at the beginning. And when we say hard work, it's not really hard. It's just in the process, relatively speaking, that's the hardest part of the whole thing, is getting it set up. But once it is set up, it basically takes care of itself. You'll take care of everything. You'll send them an email. Hey, there's a new policy. You want in? They say yes. They say no. And that's really all there is to it.
That's exactly right. It's pretty simple. The hardest part is saying yes, bringing in all their documents, all their accounts, whatever they're going to put in. They may be giving us accounts from three or four different places. Like you say, old 401ks that they've had a long time that they didn't move when they quit their last job. So we take all those in consideration, put that in. They may have an old annuity, a variable annuity. They've had 25 years. They may want to put that in. Whatever it is, they're going to show us all this, and then we're going to try to, you know, set up the accounts for them.
So when you have people, like you said, come in this past week and they say, hey, Faye, I've got some people who have been with you for 4 or 5 years. They've made a bunch of money. Tell me about life settlements. What do you tell them?
Well, I tell them how it begins, how it ends. I tell them that we bid on these policies, that they have to have stage four cancer or we're not going to buy them. And that we don't, we only do people up to 74. We don't do seniors. We're not going to do old people. We love them. But, you know, we've been through that. We don't want to talk about that. And so we're going to do people that are 30 to 74 years old. And the way it works, we bid on them. If we get the policy, we do an email to our clients and say, do you want to go in this policy? Well, here's what it's going to make. Here's how many months it is, and here's what your profit will be. And we tell them all this up front. Then they have a chance to look at the life expectancy and read the doctor's report. And then they can make an intelligent decision.
And I'm sure there's some people who at the beginning are a little nervous. They don't really understand. They may be intimidated by, you know, like you said, the doctor reports. They're not doctors. They don't speak doctor speak. But all these reports are in plain English. It's very, very easy to understand. You don't have to have gone to medical school to understand it. It's all right there in plain English.
That's right. And it tells them exactly what they've got. It may say that they have tonsil cancer, they may have thyroid cancer, maybe stomach or pancreatic, but it'll all be right there. And it'll say, we estimate that their life expectancy is this many months. Mm-hmm. And let me interrupt myself. I forgot to say, the Higgins policy matured this week.
Oh,
that's
wow.
One of the old ones. I forgot to say that. I should have said it 50 times.
Wow.
Higgins has finally passed away.
And that was one of the elderly policies.
That
you
was an elderly
ago.
Policy. We've owned it since 2014.
Wow.
Yes, and that's one of those they stuck to us, and you know, that's one of our learning curves right there.
Yeah.
But Higgins did pass away, and so that's one less of those older policies that we've got. We've still got three left, folks, and that's it.
Okay.
Once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah. And then from there on out, really, since you learned the lesson, because you got burned with some bad information, and this was early on in the process, and so you've taken that, and that's really key to understanding what makes what you do such a special, hyper focused niche, is that you're only bidding on life insurance policies for people who have been diagnosed with stage four cancer.
That's right. And we don't do all that silly stuff anymore. If it's not stage four, we're not going to do it. We're not going to go out here and try something new. You know, we've already done that. We did that in 14 when they said, oh, all these elderly people, they're going to pass away real fast. It didn't happen, did it? So we do stage four cancer. That's our niche. That's the only thing we're going to do. And it works. Not only did we have that older policy, we also had another policy come due this week. I believe it was 12 or 14 months also, a quick one.
Oh, wow, that was fast.
And, you know, last week we had that lady with breast cancer, 31 years old, that passed away.
That is so young.
It's so young, and I don't think it had to happen. It's just my opinion.
Wow.
And I know chemo is the worst thing. It's worse than cancer. But there's some doctors that do things that make it where it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And radiation would be my first choice, I'll tell you. But they go to Mexico, they'll go anywhere to avoid this. And when they do, it's a very short trip. I hate to say that.
Yeah, and those are the things that you're looking at, you know, when you have these reports and these policies come across your desk, and you're deciding whether or not you're going to bid on them, because you don't just randomly bid on anything. You examine every single I, every T, to make sure they're dotted and crossed. You look at the not only what's in the report, but you're also looking at things that aren't in the report. You know, you're looking at things that the policyholder didn't do. Like you say, if they've run off to, you know, another country to try, like, the Netherlands special melon diet to fight cancer, that's a big indicator that, hey, this person did not do traditional cancer treatment, which has allowed however many months for the cancer to progress, which makes it that much more difficult to fight it when they finally do come back and they try to resume treatments. And so those are the kinds of policies that you really look at as being hot ones.
Well, and another thing, our broker sometimes knows something personal about these people. This last week, we were bidding on a policy, and I was trying to, and I requested a second opinion, and I was still kind of on the fence. And they said, we have been told that he is taken to his bed and cannot get up.
Wow.
And I said, okay, that does make a difference.
Yeah.
The man has went to bed. He's not even getting up now. So, you know, we didn't have that information before. So we found that out, and that made a big difference as to how to bed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know if he isn't going to get up and you know, try, then he won't last long.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing that and I assume this is not in the report, but you're looking at everything and you're able to pull out this information because you've seen so many of these policies, and so you know the things to look for, and so you're able to draw out things like that. And when you see somebody who has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, we always hear that attitude makes a huge difference. And when somebody does that and they finally have given up, they lay down, you know that their attitude is one of feeling defeated, and that makes all the difference in the world, and things tend to turn around very, very quickly, not in a great way for the policyholder. And so those are the policies that you really go after hot and heavy.
That's exactly right. So it's one that we really wanted to go ahead and try to scoop it. And lots of times we find out things at the last minute. And, of course, it depends if it's a Fasano, if it's an AVS, if it's 21st Services. Each one of them rates it different. So, you know, we've come to rely on those reports as to how they rate it. And if the person is obese, if they're on really, really strong pain medicine, we know that it really is truly in the last stages because the pain is so bad.
Yeah. And so those are aggressive policies that you're going to go after. So the way that these policies end up on your desk and the way this whole thing works is a person may be diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and the treatments for this are through the roof. I mean, we know how expensive it can be. And so a lot of times people are looking for a fast way to get a big lump of cash so that they can afford these treatments. And so usually the fastest way to get a lump sum is by going ahead and selling their life insurance policy. And so they put it up for sale. You'll bid on these policies against other people. And if you're awarded with the policy, then it becomes yours. You turn around, and how does that become an investment opportunity for other people?
Well, we've figured out what the profit's going to be on that policy. And so we send out an email to our clients and say, okay, we have a policy. It's $1 million. It's going to pay, you know, 18%. It's an 18-month policy. Do you want in on it? And we tell them, you know, how much the percent is going to be. We tell them what life insurance company is holding the paper, who the person is, how old they are. We give them all the information. And then we ask them to email us back and say yes or no. And once they've said yes, the money comes out of their account, along with everybody else's, goes into an escrow account, and then the bank pays those people. And so then we own that policy through the bank. And then the bank, as you know, they act for us and the client, and so they pay the premiums as they come due, and then when that person passes away, they get the certified death certificate, and the insurance company makes the check out to the bank. And then the bank puts the money in everybody's account. And that's what makes it a safe investment, is the bank handles the money. We never touch the money. So the bank pays everybody, and that's the way it ought to be.
And everything is already mapped out. You know, when you say the bank puts the money in the investors' accounts, before the policy ever, you know, gets before the ink is even dried, they already have it all mapped out. They know, okay, person A is, when the policy matures, this person is going to get this much. Person B is going to get this much. All those numbers are already done, so nobody's trying to scramble and figure out and scratch their heads when the policy matures. Oh, how much does this person get, or where does this go? No, they know exactly how it's going to go, which helps streamline the process, which gets people paid faster, which means they can turn around and reinvest faster.
That's exactly right. And they have a spreadsheet from the moment we decide to do it. Everybody, the bank keeps aside of the spreadsheet. We keep a spreadsheet. And we all know how much everybody's going to make. There's never a question about it. And the bank pays them, and that's all there is to it.
So people
know. It's pretty streamlined.
Yeah, it is very streamlined. It's a very fast process, which is, you know, helpful to the investor. And so when people are looking at these policies and we're talking about, you know, they know, you know, the types of cancer that the policyholder has. We know how much they're going to make. They know also on the other side, if it goes over, they know what the premium is going to cost.
That's exactly right. And they have to know what the premium is up front. We have to know, when we're bidding this, we're looking at that premium. How high is it? Is it 3% of the policy? Is it higher than that? And sometimes the premium is so high, we can't make the numbers work. And so we tell the brokers, we're sorry, we're not going to bid it. It's too high. We don't want our clients to pay that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the premium is right, we're bidding it.
Yeah, you're making sure that there's enough profit margin in there for people to make the kind of money that is the goal. And the goal is 1% a month. And so this way, if the policy, and we'll just take a random example here, but say a policy comes in and it has an expectancy of 18 months. That's 1% each month. And if it goes over to, say, 22 months before the policy expires, people know what that's going to be. They know what's going to come out. They know what they're going to make. They can do the math themselves. You know, if I have a profit of, say, and I'm just making numbers up here for easy sake, say my profit's going to be $20,000 and I've got to pay a $400 premium. Well, you can do the math and you're still making a massive profit on these things. And so the math works out. But that's one of the wonderful things when you're looking at these policies, you're deciding on whether or not to bid them. Not only are you looking to see what type of cancer they have, you're not only looking at, you know, how they've treated it or how they've not treated it. You know, how much it has spread, you know, their attitude, you know, the medications they've been on, but you know, all the financial aspects too. So that's what makes this such a well-rounded, well-informed type of investment. And so when the policy does go over, that's one of the risks, because this is so attractive to so many people because of the low risks of the whole life settlement concept. And so if a policy goes over, they know that they're going to have to be responsible for some of the premiums. That's one of the risks, but there's two others involved.
That's right. It is not liquid during this time, and everybody knows that. But we have to tell them up front, this is not liquid till those people mature. Because remember, you're putting your cash in that policy, in that life insurance policy, along with everybody else. So during that 12 months or 24 months, it is not liquid. Now then, it is liquid as soon as they pass away and we put the money back in your account. If you need some cash, you can take it out. But most people say, no, I need to reinvest where I'm going to have more money at retirement. Because that's what everybody's working toward, is retirement. I don't know of anybody that isn't saving for retirement.
That's what they should be doing. There's plenty of people who actually aren't, and I think they get intimidated by the whole process. So in order to do this type of investment, you have to know the three risks. There's the first two, the premiums, and it's not liquid, but there's one more.
The other one is if a life insurance company ever went broke. And we've never had one in Texas go broke and not pay the claims. And life insurance companies are huge. You know, they're like $58 billion or $100 billion. So if one of them got in trouble, someone always buys it because the premium income is so big. Premium income, everybody would love to have their premium income.
So I'm sure a lot of people who have never done this before are listening to this. They're saying, okay, this is an attractive investment. It's conservative. It's well-informed. We know the risks. The risks are relatively low, although they're there, and you're transparent about all that. You want people to know everything. So there's probably people thinking, my goodness, the positives far outweigh the negatives. So what are we missing? When's the other shoe going to drop? There's got to be something else hidden in here. What is it?
There is nothing hidden. Everything that you see is in writing. Always remember that. The lawyers that drew these contracts thought of everything in the book. Any question that come up is in your contract.
And that's the beautiful thing. That's how really it rounds out this well-informed investment. You know, the way people are doing this is a totally different mindset. It's a totally different attitude than what they may be used to on Wall Street. And another thing we should, as long as we're doing the comparison, another thing we should point out is that a life settlement is not unstable like Wall Street, because, you know, we all know that anything, if you have stocks, anything can affect their value. They can go up, they can go down, and it could have nothing to do with anything. Completely out of your hand. It's as predictable as the wind. But with a life settlement, it is what it is. It's its own self, and it's not affected by anything else.
That's right. It's completely non-correlated. It's not, you know, whatever happens overseas in Europe and France and Bangladesh, it doesn't matter where it is. That does not affect a life insurance policy. Politics here in the States does not affect this. So all these people can wrangle all the time. The news can go crazy, but it won't affect a life policy.
So while their friends are in the stock market and they're getting up at midnight going online to see if they have anything left in their portfolio, Yi, who is invested in a life settlement, is sleeping sound like a baby.
That's exactly right, because they know that their policy will come due and they will get paid. That's that simple.
Yeah, it is. It really is that simple. You basically set it and forget it. You wait for the policy to mature. You get paid. You reinvest. Bottom line, it cannot be any simpler than that.
That's exactly right. That's the way it works.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring interesting, fun things to the table. And it could be a fact about Texas history. It could be a place to visit on your bucket list. It could be just some neat things to know. So what are we talking about today?
The Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
That's right. I forgot all about that. It's huge.
It is the largest livestock rodeo in the world.
Wow. Not just the country, the world.
In the world. It's the richest regular season professional rodeo event. And it's held at Houston, Texas, at Reliance Center. Now, this thing started out a long, long way from Reliance Center. The Houston Rodeo and Stock Show started out in 1931.
Wow.
Can you believe this?
I didn't realize it.
Started out in downtown Houston. And the way it started out, one of these old guys, his name, I'll give you here in a minute, it's Arthur Romero. Anyway, way back then, in the early 1930s, downtown Houston, these guys got together, and they were raising Brahma cattle. Well, you know, a Brahma cattle came from India, and, you know, it was four or five different kinds of cattle, and they made them into Brahmas. Well, they came up to Fort Worth, and in Fort Worth, they wouldn't even let them show them. They said, oh, no, you can't show those old cattle. They're not worth anything. So they sent them back to Houston. And these old guys got together, and they go, look, I think we could have a rodeo event in Houston, Texas. Well, the first time they did it, there was like, you know, 400 people showed up. I mean, it was just nothing. So they were kind of disappointed. So then these guys got together. They formed the thing in the 30s. And by the 40s, they were ready to have a big-time movie star and singer. Gene Autry, in 1942, was the first nationally recognized entertainer.
Wow, cool.
In the 1940s.
That's amazing.
But, as I said, they brought the Brahmas. It was four kinds of cattle from India, and they came real well to Texas because, you know, the Gulf Coast is hot, it's swampy. So in the 1920s, James Sartwell, he was a stockyard manager from Steely, Texas. He founded the American Brahma Breeders Association. But as I said, nobody would show them. So then in 1932, him and six other businessmen decided to form a livestock exposition. And he was the first president of it. Well, they had the first one in 1932 at the Sam Houston Hall downtown. Well, it was just for agriculture and livestock, and it lasted 1 week. They ran a deficit of $2,800.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they had the Future Farmers Band. 68 high school students came and performed. And they sold the Grand Champion steer for $504.
Wow.
Now, that's how far we've come. You know, now it goes for $250,000 to $1 million.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. So the next 4 years, they were coming along. Then they outgrew that space. So Sam Houston Hall was tore down. Then they built the Sam Houston Coliseum. And it seated 10,000 people. And they said, oh, my gosh, you can't fill up 10,000 people, you know. And so then, as I said, in the 40s, they started getting a little bit bigger. And before long, they outgrew that. So then they said, you know, in the 50s, they were going to build the Houston Astrodome. And they issued bonds to finance it. And so then they were going to attract a football team and all this. They went and visited everybody, you know, to find out how to do it. Well, they moved into the Astrodome. And you know how big the Astrodome was. And then they started having trail rides from every part of Texas came and would ride to the Astrodome every year. I mean, it was a huge deal.
Wow.
And so then they founded the Go Texas Committee. And a week before they had the Houston Livestock, everybody in Houston would dress Western.
Cool.
Yeah, and so it was just getting bigger and bigger. And they gave their first deal to a boy, gave him a $2,000 scholarship. And can you imagine? $2,000. That's how far back this goes.
Wow.
Yeah. So then, in 1961, they said, you know, we've got to, you know, get over there at the Astrodome and get started. So they did. And so then they were there in the Astrodome till, I believe, 2003. And that's when they said, you know, this is not big enough. We've got to go somewhere else. And that's when they moved to Reliance Center. And then, of course, the first Hispanic trail drive was called Las Vaqueras Rio Grande Trail Ride. And they rode 400 miles from Reynosa, Mexico, all the way to Houston.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And by the 1990s, the show had expanded to 20 whole days. And the rodeo was offering hundreds of thousands of dollars in prize money. It was second only to the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas.
Wow.
But the tickets were still $10.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And then in the 1996, they halted the rodeo for the space shuttle Columbia appeared live on the big screen. And then later that year, George Strait set a record. He played to more than 1 million people.
Wow.
Yeah, 1 million people. And now in 2017, they had over 2 million people at the rodeo.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, in 1996, they actually made a profit of $16
million. Holy smokes.
Can you imagine?
Wow.
$16 million back then. So then we come to the 21st century, of course, and as you know, it was built on the Astrodome grounds. And so then George Strait became the first official live album, live from the Astrodome. And they tore it down. As I said, they went to Reliant, and it really became big. And then the attendance started failing. And everybody said, what is wrong? You know, well, the people that had moved to Houston, they didn't understand. You have to come early. You come for the shows. You come. They have a big barbecue event. They have usually 17 people that try to beat the best barbecue in Texas. So then they said, well, what the problem is, these people don't know what's going to happen every day. So that's when they came out and started publishing what was going to be on every day. And, of course, that made it big again. So now then, over 2 million people are coming every year, and it publishes it. It says, like, Casey Musgrave, it will appear on February 25th. Brooks and Dunn, they're on February 27th. Cardi B, March 1st. Camila Cabello, March 5th. Tim McGraw, Kane Brown, the Zac Brown Band. And people now can see all this, so the huge crowds have returned to the stadium. And, of course, we've got George Strait, Lyle Lovett, Robert Earl Keane, Santana will be there. And that's all the way to March 17th.
Wow.
And it is big. It's professional. You know, there was a few years that they were kicked out of the National Rodeo Finals. But they've got it back now, and now it does count toward the Las Vegas National Finals, which is really big. So you'll have over 2 million people in that 20-day period that will come, that will see all this there is to see, which is fabulous. It's bigger than, they say it's bigger than the New Year's Eve in New York City. It's as big as our state fair in Texas.
Wow.
It's as big or bigger than Mardi Gras.
You know, I didn't realize that there was a period where the attendance went down. I guess.
Yes.
I just thought
it went down
bigger.
Because people, newcomers, didn't understand. They didn't understand all that was going on. They wouldn't even get there till the rodeo started. They didn't know all these other events happened before.
They had no idea there was stuff happening earlier.
No. And so now they publish it, and now the crowds are huge again because people understand what all they're going to see. And, of course, there's not any $10 tickets.
Oh, no.
I mean, they're expensive nowadays.
Go ahead. That's long gone.
But they still have where you can ride the lambs, the little kids. They still have all that. So it's really a big family event. It's still country. It's still Western. And they still have the big, big rodeo finals. Like in Las Vegas.
You know, and it's also fascinating how they figured out what the problem was and that people didn't understand what was happening. And so all that it took was, you know, publishing the schedule and a little bit of advertising for people to realize that, hey, there's this wonderful thing that's going on all the time that they only know maybe 10% about. And then publishing that, and that really turns things around. That in itself is fascinating to me.
Yes, it turned it completely back around, and now it's filling up again every night like it ought to be. But these people didn't understand. It's an event. You don't go for one thing. You go for the whole night things.
Yeah.
You go for the entertainment. You go for the barbecue deal. Oh, and now they have a big wine deal, a big wine auction that raises millions of dollars.
Oh, wow.
And you know, the Houston Livestock Association is a nonprofit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the big wine deal now is a big deal in Houston. The first year they did it, it raised $313,000.
Oh, my God.
And now it raises millions of auction off this fine wine.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't realize it was a wine thing.
Oh, yeah, there is not anything it isn't going on.
Wow.
It is so big. There's so many wonderful things. And, of course, they're judging all the livestock. You know, you're going to have your grand champion. You're going to have all this livestock that kids bring in that's going to win all kinds of things.
Wow.
And every year they show the champion, the grand champion, the 14 and 15-year-olds that won it and that get all the money. And the big producers that pay these kids for their cattle. You know, it's always the big restaurants in Houston that will buy those grand champions.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You had mentioned that the barbecue thing, and there is nothing better in the world than when you get one of these barbecue competitions and you get so many different kinds of Texas barbecue. And it always happens here. It doesn't happen in, you know, South Carolina or Tennessee or any other state. It only counts with Texas meat because that's where all the flavor is. That's where all the spices is. It's not in the sauce because we don't put sauce. It comes in the actual flavoring the meat, and there's nothing better smelling than when you get all these different kinds of barbecue competitions going on. You smell all that meat cooking in the air. Oh, my goodness gracious.
There is no telling how much these guys spend on their competition every year trying to beat the other fella.
I know it. It is a big deal.
It is. And then the trail drives are spectacular. You know, you can start, all these trail drives start from all over Texas, and they ride 400 miles to Houston, Texas, to be in the rodeo.
That's incredible.
It is an incredible sight. I remember when Roy Rogers, Gene Autry, all the Western guys first started at the rodeo. Mm. I remember him talking about it. And it was an amazing thing to have someone like Gene Autry down there riding around the arena. I mean, it was big.
Oh, yeah.
For people in the 50s. Can you imagine?
That's a magical thing. And for it to grow exponentially like it did in the 40s and the 50s, to have that much massive growth is really incredible because, you know, back then things weren't quite the same. They didn't have social media like they did. They didn't have, you know, all the advertising outlets like they do now. And so for it to grow like it did back then is really fascinating.
Yes, and to think it started in downtown Houston, and they were running a deficit of $2,800, and then that they outgrew that, then they outgrew the next place, then they went to the Astrodome.
Yeah.
I mean, and everybody said, oh, you can't fill this up. This holds 45,000 people. The first night, they had 40,000.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. And now then there'll be over 2 million people this year during the 20-day run.
That is just wild. And, you know, and to think of it, you know, what it is now, and to think about how it started with such humble beginnings, you know, just a couple people putting this thing together in 1931, and to have it grown to the biggest thing literally in the whole world, that's just, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, it has morphed, and nobody ever could have saw this coming.
That's right. And the Brahma cattle, those guys just wanted to show their cattle.
Yeah.
They said, you know, we need a venue to show our cattle. We can't show it. Fort Worth wouldn't even let them on the main ring. They said, oh, no, you go on home. Go back to Houston.
Wow.
I mean, you know, and the first deal, they paid the little kid $504. I mean, that's how far we've come, folks.
Wow. How incredible
yeah.
is that?
It's and everybody, and out of 20 days, somebody should be able to go there one night or two nights.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, everybody ought to go and see this spectacular. It is spectacular.
It really is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So we've been talking about growing your money for retirement. We've been talking about how wonderful the program is, how the gains far outweighs any losses. You know, your risk, you have the three risks. They're relatively low compared to everything else. However, your profit, all the positives of this type of investment in a life settlement are so good. I mean, it's a win-win, really, no matter how you dissect the numbers. However, not everybody is made for this type of a program. There are certain qualifications, and to be a part of it, you have to be accredited.
You must be accredited. So when you come to us, if you say, I make $200,000 a year, that is accredited. If you say, I'm worth $1 million without my house, you can do that. It's one or each. You don't have to have both. And when people come to us, we say, what is your net worth? Before they ever come in, we ask them that question to make sure they're going to qualify for the program. So, you know, they're going to be asked. It's not, we're not asking them to embarrass them, to make sure they do qualify. Mm-hmm. So we say, how much do you make every year? Including bonuses, you must make $200,000 or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Yeah, and that includes rental properties. It includes old 401ks. Oftentimes, you have people come in that have been at, have been gone from an employer for years, but they've still got that 401k sitting out there they may have forgotten about. That counts.
That's exactly right. Old 401ks count. This 401k counts. Their IRA counts. Lots of times people say, oh, I didn't know I could use my 401k. Yes, when you're adding all this up, add up all of these things. Your stocks, your bonds, whatever you've got. If you've got savings, add that in. Your bank account. Add everything together and see what you're worth. If you have rental property, you may add that in. If you have a ranch, you know, cattle. Cattle certainly counts. Mm-hmm. So all these things are important for you to put down.
And I know you've told stories before about how people have come in, they just wanted some information, they didn't think they really were going to qualify, they didn't think they'd be accredited, but they came in, they found out, oh my gosh, I actually have more than I thought I did. And so a surprise, boom, and all of a sudden you're accredited. So it's not terribly difficult to get accredited. But for those who are not, not all hope is lost. There are still opportunities to go ahead, grow their money, and still get ready for retirement. You have other programs.
That's right. They can always do an annuity. You know, annuities been around 150 years. They're safe. Life insurance companies are worth a huge, huge amounts. As I said the other day, some of them are worth $58 billion to $100 billion. They guarantee your money from the day you put it in to the day you take it out. So the risk is very, very low. Your only risk is how much will you make while you're there. And then at a certain point, you can walk away and take all your money out if you want to, or you can start taking income. The first after that first year, you could take money out every year. You could take up to 10% a year out of your annuity.
So the point is there are a number of different options. So, yes, while the life settlement is very, very popular, you have a lot of people that do it. You have a lot of people who have been doing it for a long time and have made a lot of money. Don't start thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm 55 and I have no chance of retiring. I'm just going to work until I tip over. That's not the goal.
And that's
not
a bad way to go. I would never think like that, okay?
Yeah, that's a bad way to go because you want to get to retirement. You want to enjoy your retirement. You want to make sure that, one, when you retire, the day that you walk out of your job for the last time, you want to make sure that your house is paid. You want to make sure that your cars are paid, trucks, cars. There's no auto debt. There's no credit card debt. You don't want to have any debt of any kind. And so once you leave the safety of that paycheck, you have to have some money. You have to have a certain amount in order to there's a magic number that people need to shoot for when they retire, and that is?
That's right. You need at least $1 million. I'm telling you. If a person will sit down and just take their little calculator and say, okay, how much am I going to need per year? Multiply that out, folks. Go out 20 years, and you're going to jump up and say, I better go talk to Faye.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, it takes a lot of money to live.
Now,
and most people are going to need $60,000 to $75,000 a year to live.
Now, you say that magic number is $1 million to retire. So people are probably, I can feel it now. I can just feel people saying, oh, that's impossible. That's no, they're staring at they're at the bottom of Mount Everest, staring all the way to the top, saying there's no way I can do that. How long on average, and this is the really optimistic part, how long on average have you found that, generally speaking, it takes people enough to get ready for retirement? How many years?
It's going to take at least 7 years.
Okay.
And it may take longer. It depends what they've got now. We have to look at that. They may not have $250,000 right now. So, you know, it may take 10 to 15 years. We don't know. But it depends what they're starting with, okay?
Yeah.
If they're starting with $500,000, yes, it's not going to take but about 7 years. But if they're starting with $200,000, it's going to take some serious time.
Yeah. But saying an average of about 7 years to get where you need to be, that's a really good, solid, doable, attainable starting point. And so I know people will, you know, it'll vary, you know, how much you have to work with, where do you need to be, blah, 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 and all that. Everybody's plan is customized to them. However, that really starts to break up that intimidating, you know, view of Mount Everest. It really starts to break it up into something, hey, this is attainable. If it's 7 years, we'll say on average, we'll go with that. Somebody who is 55 can still start and get ready for retirement.
That's right. So the quicker you start, the quicker we can get you on the road.
All right. So, Faye, you have appointments available for this coming week. So what should people do right now to get ready before they come see you?
They need to gather up whatever they want me to look at. Let me look at whatever they're going to talk about, and we'll look at it together and make a decision.
Perfect. And one last time to make an appointment, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.